He takes note of the fact that it is frequently the case that young people will be of friends of this variety, that they are so extremely enamored of the pleasures that come in one another's company, and that he finds that people both of virtuous and vicious characters will readily engage in this type of pleasure. His idea in so articulating the relationship is to go back to the earlier discussion of character that has marked his whole ethics. The linchpins of his system are a notion that there is virtue and there is vice, and that either of these are character states in which there is a very settled disposition and an inclination to act and to choose on the basis of a very deep disposition. Above the notion of virtue, he thinks that there is an altruistic or godlike state, just as there is equally possible an excessive state with regard to vice, namely someone who is virtually bestial or animalistic. And then below the level of virtue and of vice, at not the level of yet a finished character state in which there is a settled habit of disposition, Aristotle thinks that there are people who are continent and incontinent. And in one of our previous lectures, we were discussing that these are people, in the case of the continent person, the one who makes right decisions, but only after a lot of struggle. And the person who is called incontinent, the person who makes the wrong decision, but doesn't do it out of malice or out of bad habit, but rather simply loses the fight. Here, Aristotle is envisioning in his treatise on friendship that friendships of pleasure could exist for people in any of those six character states, that the pleasure is neither good nor bad, but rather that simply the love of that kind of delight and that kind of friendly association produces an entire genre of friendships. One finds that not only is there the case in youth, but also that there's throughout the whole of one's lifespan that some people will associate largely together for reasons of pleasure. And Aristotle's concentration on youth, I think, is probably of a statistical variety. His second major type of friendship is called the friendship of utility. And here he's thinking in particular of those sorts of relationships which are grounded on the mutual advantage that both parties secure for one another. Here, too, the friendship tends to persist and to continue only as long as this mutual service can readily be given. It's the sort of thing that one would often find in the marketplace, whether it be something of a very, very short-term variety or something somewhat longer-term. It's the kind of friendliness that one exhibits when one goes into the post office and one is just kind and friendly with the clerk, hoping that there will indeed be a more easy transaction of the business. But equally, it can be present among the people who are working together in the post office and are being nice to one another precisely because the work goes better if they are friendly to one another. The distinction between the first and the second type could probably be seen by a nice empirical test. Yes, these people are friendly with one another at work, but do they like to loaf with one another afterwards? Do they have hobbies that take them out fishing together? Are they inclined simply to seek out one another's company in the time when they are not in the postal employ? A friendship of pleasure is one where we are looking for one another's company. A friendship of utility, in Aristotle's judgment, is one where we are being kindly and pleasant to one another, but not particularly because we desire the other's company, but rather because some particular service gets done the better simply by being nice to one another. Aristotle notes once again that there is often very little to sustain this type of relationship once the mutual utility ceases. He also has a strong sense of authority relationships, and you can see this not only in the Nicomachean Ethics, but you can find it in books like The Politics and The Rhetoric. Here he takes note that people in positions of authority do very well to discern whether a friendly person is in one or another of these relationships, precisely so as to have a better sense of how to deal with the person who is being friendly. Is this a person who does just like the person's company? Is this, on the other hand, a person who is simply being nice in order to get along? And that discernment, if it's possible, will enable better decisions to be made.